You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So, firstly, Julie Bishop is under fire. What's going on with Julie?
Yeah, Julie. So, she is the former Foreign Affairs Minister, and she's under fire for this new job she has, and it's being on the board of an aid contractor called Paladigm. Labour has really lashed out against her for this new position. They say that it violates the ministerial guidelines because Julie Bishop brought in policy as a foreign minister that this company now completely benefits from. And under Bishop, the Department of Foreign Affairs actually privatised foreign aid spending, so thus this company holds $500 million worth of contracts with the department. One of the senators from Labor, her name is Penny Wong, and she has been at the forefront of this discussion, and she told the ABC that Bishop is really breaching these standards because of this company that she is a part of. She's on the board, and they have, I mean, the company itself said that she is appointed in part for her extensive network of global contracts and her unique knowledge, which she completely gained from being the Foreign Affairs Minister. So in Australia, the federal ministerial standards prevent ministers from using the knowledge that they've obtained whilst they were in office for private gain, whether that's lobbyists or an advocate or a business representative, and this is effective for 18 months. And Julia Bishop is unfortunately just got this sketchy job with this company that completely breaches these rules. But she's not the only one, actually. Our former Defence Minister, Christopher Pyne, who resigned or stepped away or whatever during the most recent election, has faced criticism as well. He's got this new role in a consulting firm called EY, and that is also breaching, I'm not quite sure what his role is, my apologies, but that is also breaching these standards. And so, yeah, they're both facing an inquiry. There's been lots of calls from Labor to really make sure that something is checked out here, because it's a bit sketchy at the moment.
I understand that obviously there are these rules in place, so yes, it makes sense that they're being called out for, but just thinking about the principle behind those rules, I don't understand why it's so bad for a minister to be able to benefit from something that they brought in. If they've brought in these new policies or whatever, that's just what new policies are. If they go off and get a job, isn't that just okay?
No, I totally get what you're saying. I think it's just a bit of a bad look. You know, especially in Julia Bishop's case, I mean, this isn't just, you know, a few dollars. This is $500 million that she has brought in for this company, and now she's sitting on the board. Of course, these standards only are effective for 18 months. So,
makes sense.
So it's not forever. It's not for the rest of their lives. It's just 18 months. I think just for a bit of a grace period. And yeah, it just doesn't look very good. That's probably the reason behind these standards.
I wonder if there's something like that here. It's not something I've heard about. There's certainly former ministers or former prime ministers going on to quite public, high-profile, money-earning jobs as a result of being prime minister or a former minister. But I don't know of any cases where it's something like this, where it's a personal benefit.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I can't think of any really other examples in Australia. I mean, I'm not really quite up to date with all my prime ministers and what they've been doing, but it's interesting, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in the near future as well, if there is any inquiries held.
Has Julie Bishop or the other minister involved, either of them, said anything publicly since all of this has come out?
No, they've been asked and requested for interviews from a few media organisations here, and they've just refused thus far. Also, the company that Julia Bishop as well hasn't really said anything either.
Next on the list of topics, press freedom inquiry looming after cabinet approval. There has been some issues in Australia recently in terms of press freedom, hasn't there?
Yes, there has been. So if you might have remembered a few weeks ago now, I was talking about the police raids. The two police raids, so one was in the home of a News Corp journalist, her home was raided. The following day, so the next day, the ABC's Sydney headquarters were raided, both over stories. So the ABC over stories published in 2017, alleging that Australian soldiers were carrying out unlawful killings in Afghanistan, and the News Corp journalist was about a leaked proposal to allow the Australian Singles Directorate to spy on Australians. So, like, kind of confidential stuff. And these raids happen, and now there is a lot of... there was a lot of pushback from the media, of course, because News Corp is conservative, ABC is, you know, meant to be not conservative. So it was this sort of real banding together of all media organisations in Australia to come against these raids. But the Morrison government have approved an inquiry into press freedom following these raids. And the Prime Minister and the opposition leader were discussing the inquiry yesterday. I did try and do a little update this morning, but I couldn't find too much information about what was said, so my apologies. But I did discuss this inquiry yesterday, and they want to, well, Labor wants to establish this bipartisan parliamentary joint select committee into public's rights to know and press freedom. It doesn't really roll off the tongue, so I had to read it out loud. And there, if the inquiry is conducted in its current form, this committee will deliver its interim reports September, October, and then a final report into press freedom in November. However, I think maybe this is a little bit of the government buying some time. They haven't really done anything for a month since these raids, and these reports aren't going to be released for like another 4 months, and I think they're just trying to say that they're doing something without maybe really doing anything.
Yeah, and that's certainly, in terms of setting up committees to look into things, that's something that our government here gets a lot of flack for when people say, why aren't you doing something about this? And they go, oh, well, we've set up a committee to make a report. And then it takes forever and nothing comes of it. So it's it probably is exactly what you've said, just buying some time.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. It's kind of scary stuff. The raids really did rock like the entire nation, and conservative, not conservative, everyone was like really freaked out about it. I don't know, I might just be being super critical. Maybe it's going to be a great report and a great inquiry and everyone's going to be free, but also maybe not.
Yes, and it's something we'll certainly be wanting to follow up on, because it's it's such a such an important issue around the whole world at the moment, really, press freedom. And certainly a couple of our national news organisations here stood alongside Australian media when that happened and called it out for not being acceptable. So we'll be wanting to follow up on that when that report finally comes out.
Stay tuned for 4 months' time, everyone.
Yes. And finally, there's been a bit of a rock climbing ban. What's that all about?
Yeah, so the Grampians rock climbing ban. The Grampians are this beautiful site in Victoria, and there has been a ban because the traditional owners in the Victorian Grampians National Park say, because they have lots of art and it's a heritage site there, so they are calling for a ban for rock climbers. Parks Victoria are doing something about it. So they are going to be issuing a ban into rock climbing a lot of reasons why. For example, you know, the simple act of what do rock climbers do? They like get a hammer and put a nail into a rock and use chalk and really damage these sites. So there has been a push for a ban, should be being enforced. However, there is this committee now that's raised because of this ban. They're called the Australian Climbing Association of Victoria, and they actually formed in response to this ban. Sort of not being very empathetic, understanding, a little bit gross if you ask me. They've said that they are the quote-unquote natural allies of Indigenous Australians. However, they're not really listening, I think, because they're still wanting to climb these sites that have so much history and so much meaning to Indigenous people. I don't think that they're... Yeah, I don't think that they're listening, if I'm honest. The Grampians contain 90% of Victoria's registered rock art sites. So it's a really significant place. And this also kind of comes at a time where the Uluru climb is being banned this year after a historical vote a few years ago. It's just really interesting that people still don't quite understand the significance of these sites. And something like rock climbing, like there's other rocks, you know what I mean? There's other rocks that don't have 30,000 plus years artwork on it. So it's interesting, but it's so good that Parks Victoria are taking a stand and are doing something about it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, as always.
Thanks, Stuart. I hope you have a good day.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.